Amen. Amen. We're thankful for that. I don't know who picked that song, but it goes right along with what we are going to be looking at this morning. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 4 is where we're at this morning. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to go to our theme verse. Just a word that is going to be very important for us this morning to look at. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll go back up to verse 14. We'll make our way down through verse 16. And then we'll stop and I'll share a few things before we move on. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, I need you this morning. I'm begging you and even demanding that you don't let me go alone this morning. God, I'm asking that your presence would be here, that the Holy Spirit, as the Word of God is given in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, that it would equal power in people's lives. But Lord, people need to open up their hearts to you and what you have for them. And so God, I pray that the combination of those three things would take place. And God, we would be affected this morning because of the Holy Word of God. And so God, we look at this today and we're asking you to do tremendous things in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, I concluded my prayer with "in Jesus' name, amen." Typically I do. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Well, I'll tell you, it's because of what those girls just sang. Jesus is near. What Jesus Christ, what he did when he went to the cross was, yes, he cleared the way for eternal salvation, but he cleared the way so that we have access to the throne of grace. He cleared the way so that we can enter into, according to the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies, which was the dwelling place of God. You remember the Old Testament and the dwelling place there? And the Ark of the Covenant was in the holiest of holies. The Holy of Holies was a place that no one could go except for the high priest one time of year. And he dare not go in with sin. That was God's place. That was his dwelling place, it was, so to speak. That was the picture of where he was. And I'm so grateful that Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, he made it so that it wasn't just a high priest. He made it so that it wasn't just one time of year. And he made it to where he would even take care of the holiness, a problem about it. And so the Holy One, Jesus Christ, went to the cross and he died. He shed his blood on the cross for you and for me without any merit of ours. He did it. And when he did it, the curtain that separated into the holies, God's dwelling place, it was rent in two so that you and I, who would choose to believe and trust in Jesus Christ, in other words, place our full dependence upon what Jesus did, again, not our work, his work. That's very important that we understand it's not our works of righteousness, which we have done. Titus chapter 3 tells us that. Verse 5, it's not our works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ did the work for us. And when he did that work for eternal salvation, he also did it for eternal access. Eternal access. We have access into the presence of God. And that's why they sang, "And Jesus is very near." Burdens are lifted at Calvary. We can go to him at any time with anything. He's cleared the way so that there doesn't need to be anything between you and the Savior. Nothing. You can go. You can go straight to him and ask him for help. I need. Are you needy this morning? I am. We're all needy. We need God. We need him to show up in our lives. We need him to, no more. No more aloneness. Just like Moses in the wilderness as they were getting ready to leave Mount Sinai. God, we go, but don't let us go without you. That's my prayer in life. It's my prayer for this morning, and it's my prayer, and it ought to be your prayer in life. God, don't let us go alone. We need you. Now let's look again at verse 16. Let us therefore, why is it therefore? Based upon all that's just been said, because Jesus Christ has cleared the way for you to go before the Father, then what's our instruction then? Because he's cleared the way, what do? Let us boldly, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, because he's cleared the way that we may obtain mercy. Do you like mercy? I do. I need mercy every single day. That we may obtain mercy and find grace. What about grace? Do you like grace? Getting what we don't deserve. Whew, what a blessing. That we find grace to help in time of need. Is that a lot? It is for me. I've got a lot of times of need. And there's mercy and grace to help in that. So that's why we should come to him. All right, now I want you to think of the Old Testament picture that is given to us, that's already been alluded to with the old the priests, the high priest that would go before the Holy of Holies, go into the presence of God. You understand that that was a very fearful thing. It really was. It was even, in a sense, a dangerous thing. And of course, what was required for this high priest to go? Of course, he had to have kept all the laws. He had to be right and holy before God. And of course, if there was any sin, it would be dangerous for him to go in to the Holy of Holies. In fact, they even made it to where that they would, you know, there would be bells on the bottom of his garment there, so they could hear him moving around in there, doing his duties and going in there and worshiping and going before the Lord. And as long as they heard those bells, they knew they were safe because he was still alive. If they stopped hearing the tingling of those bells, they had a rope tied around him so that they wouldn't go in there, but they would be able to pull him out so that they wouldn't have to go in there and die themselves. And they were fearful of the danger of this high priest going in. Now I want you to think just for a moment about this. Let's say that we're going to have a number of examples of, this is make-believe, high priests that could go in on a given time in the Holy of Holies. Let's say that high priest number one, he's going to go in, and he's kind of a private guy. He doesn't really tell a lot of what's going on in his life. In fact, really nobody knows. He's the kind of a guy that doesn't tell the people closest to him. And of course, in our realms of life, our wives, our husbands, our children, people that are close to us, you know, kind of a closed kind of a guy. And he just keeps everything inside. Now let's say that this priest, high priest number one, you know, he's kind of like, he's the kind of guy that is willing to share about 10% of what's really going on in his life, but 90%, nobody really knows except for him, and then of course, all-knowing, omniscient God. 10%. 10% of what's going on in his life he keeps closed, or he is open with. 90% is closed. Nobody really knows. And that even goes with him and his communication, his fellowship with God. There's a lot of things that he's not told God. There's a lot of private matters in his life. And he just feels that if he just keeps them quiet, no one will know and he'll be okay. Now, this priest is about ready to go into the Holy of Holies. He's about ready to enter in. Let me ask you, what is this guy's chances? What do you think? Is he taking a risk? I would say that he's taken a big risk. I would say it's a 90% risk. He is this guy because, why? Because he has not gotten real with God. You know what? He's 10% there. Some of us find ourselves that kind of a person. We're about 10% open, 90% closed. But I say this guy doesn't have much of a chance. High priest number two, the following year. By the way, that guy didn't make it. Okay? High priest number two. This guy is about 50%. Again, this is made up. This guy is about 50%. He's much more open than priest number one. This guy will give about half of what's going on in his life. He'll open up to those closest to him a little bit, but not about the serious matters, not about the things that he really is troubled about, the things he just can't do it. But 50%, he is 40% better than the last priest. But there's still 50% of his life. I mean, really, that's quite a bit, though. That means 50% of his life he's not coming clean, you know, to God about. He's not really open. He's not, he's still pretending, you know. We only see half of this guy, really. Oh, yeah, there's another half, but half of him is missing. All right, this guy's about ready to go into the Holy of Holies. What do you think? Has he got a good chance? Not really. I would be scared to be that guy, because there's half of his life that is not revealed, not open before the Lord. The Bible teaches in the book of Jeremiah that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Most likely, this guy is not prepared to go into the Holy of Holies, even though 50% of his life is opened up before God. 75, the third priest, the high priest, this guy is making great strides from 10%. He's made it all the way up to 75%. Most of his life is open before other people. 75% of what goes on in his life, the joys, the tears, the struggles, the frustrations, the things that bother, the fears, the things that make him anxious, 75% of what goes on in this high priest's life, he is willing and able to share, not just with those around him, but with his God. But folks, there's 25% of this guy's life. And really, 25% is not a majority, but 25% really, when you look at things, is still quite big. There is 25% of the things in this high priest's life that he is not willing to go before God and to talk about those things and really, really understand what's going on in his life. And so without 25%, he is very quiet. And he doesn't talk to anybody else. And yet, he's about ready to go into the Holy of Holies. He's got the bells on the bottom of his garment. He's got the rope around his leg. And he's about ready to go in. What do you think? Do you think it's a good chance? Well, it's a better chance. But I would not want to be this guy. I would not want to know that I had 25% chance of going in there and having to be drug out. 75% does not quite do it. High priest number 4 is in a league of his own compared to these guys. 90% of his life is open before other people. 90% of his life, he goes to God. You know, he's willing to sit down in his morning devotions and go to God, and he's willing to talk to God. And 9 out of 10 things that are going on in his life, he's willing and able to share with God openly and freely. But you see, there's a 10% part of his life. There's a few little things in his life that he really doesn't want anybody to know about. But he thinks that it's okay because 90%, I mean, who else is 90% open with God, right? I mean, he looks around the rest of the congregation there. He looks around all those people that are walking, you know, into the wilderness. And he looks around and he said, boy, 9 out of 10 guys I'm better than. You know, I'm more open than most everybody out here. You know, it's just, and he doesn't even really want to talk about that 10% because it's almost as if it's not there. Of course, we all know that in order to be whole, it's 100%. Now, this guy has much better chances than the first three guys, but the fact of the matter is that really is a big risk. Really, 10% seems small compared to 90, doesn't it? What about you, though? Do you think 90% is good enough for you to take the plunge into the Holy of Holies? What do you think? If I were him, I would be kind of scared. Kind of scared to go in and approach, knowing that there's a 10% chance that I'm not going to make it. High priest number 5 is 99.9% open. I mean, there's hardly anything with this guy that he won't share. He won't share with his God. He won't share with the people around him. I mean, 99.9. Come on, how much can you get? He is in an elite group. He is just considered flat out open, and everybody knows it. You know, he'll tell God anything, and he'll go and it just everything that goes on in his life he's going to share. But you know, there's 0.1% of his life. There's the one little thing. There's one little thing that he has been successful at pretending, and everything has. You know, I mean, there's everybody knows this guy to be a man of, he's a high priest, and everybody is pleased, you know, with him, and he's just got this one little thing, but he feels that if he could just go on, I mean, he's got 99.9% pleasing God. You know, 99.9% is good odds, really is. We can say, you know, most likely, this is going to be okay. Most likely. You know, but as this high priest gets, and he's walking, and he's just about there to that curtain, that 0.1% is really plaguing him. And all of a sudden, he becomes a little bit nervous of going into and through this curtain into the Holy of Holies. And all of a sudden, that one thing is he's struggling, and he's never even been willing to talk about it with God, because it's just one of those things that's been hidden, secret. What do you think? 99.9, pretty good. Most likely, you'll be okay. There's only a 1.1% chance that you might not make it. Now, you're thinking that we're going to talk about holiness this morning. Oh no, I got lots to get right. Well, you do. But I'll tell you, it's in a glorious way. It's in a glorious way. Now, I want you to push aside the five priests just for a moment. Push aside the high priest just for a moment. And I want to ask you the question, how open are you with God? How open are you with God? If God would put a percentage on your openness, I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about your thought life, guys. I'm talking about your heart, ladies, and what you think about when no one else knows. We're talking about the struggles, the frustrations. How much of that have you told God about? You say, why is that so important, Pastor? Because God knows everything. And is that true? Does God know everything? God knows everything. He is an omniscient God. That means He is all-knowing. God knows everything. My question is how much of that do you tell God? God already knows. But isn't it amazing how we get to thinking that there are certain things? You know, in the one guy, the first priest, 90%, that guy was just flat out fooled, because do you think God knows about that 90%? Of course He does. But let's go to the other side and save some time with all those middle guys. Does God know about the 0.1% with the last priest? Does He? Does God know His one little thing? God knows about it. But why do we think in life, why do we think that if I don't say it, that it's not there? That's what the child does in the nursery. If I pretend that it's not there, it's not there. Well, it's not just the nursery. It's our world today. Let's just imagine this away. It's really not that. Let's say no to reality. That's the world we live in today. Have you seen that? Let's just make it to what we want. But folks, it's not just in the world. We as Christians are doing it every day. We have things in our lives that we don't want anybody to know. We know God knows it. If I were to poll you this morning and ask you, how much, or does God know everything? Is God an omniscient God? I don't know that anyone would say no. God knows everything. And the Word of God teaches that He knows. And you would all know, does He, if I would ask you, does God know everything about your life? Everything. And I think that you would all still say, yes, He does. You know that. But when it comes to our being open before God and just verbalizing it, we think that if we don't say it, it's almost like He doesn't know it. And then it's not there. And if it's not there, then we're okay. And if other people don't see it, then we're okay. Because nobody knows what I think about. Nobody knows what I do when I'm by myself. No one knows the things. And for the one guy, it's 90%. For the one guy, it's 50%. And the other guy, it's 25%. And the other guy, it's 10%. And for the last guy, it's 0.1%. So the question for this morning is, how open are you with God? Now, have no fear. The point of the message is, if you're not open with God, you're going to die. Much more positive. In fact, it's very exciting. 1 John 1:9. Go ahead and turn there really quickly. You know, I know that you could quote it. Most of you could. If you can't quote it, you should memorize it, because it's a very, very good verse for a Christian to know. Why is it good for Christians to know 1 John 1:9? 1 John 1:9 is like the New Year's Day for every believer. And we don't have to wait 365 or 4 or whatever days and count all the way up to 1. We don't have to wait to have a New Year's resolution, because the Bible says what? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive. Wipe it out. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that a good verse for a Christian to know? It is. It's a very good, because you don't have to live in guilt. You don't have to live in fear of God, because all you have to do is confess. What does the word confess mean? As you're looking, 1 John 1:9, if we confess, what's the word confess mean? The word confess means to say the same thing. It's just to agree. But it's to say the same thing. Now, go back to the illustration. Does God know about the 0.1%? Does God know about the 90%? Does God know about the 50 and 25? And does God know about all that? He does. The word confess means to agree and to say the same thing. God says to you, open up to God. You say, but God already knows that I'm a sinner, right? And God says that the way of fellowship is to open up. When we open up to God, is God there to meet us where we're at? According to 1 John 1:9? Yes. If we confess, if we say the same thing as, if we will admit it, yes, I sinned, I did wrong. Let's say that I stole something yesterday, and I went and I stole something. I'm hiding it. No one knows. I can in my mind know that I was wrong. I can in my mind know that God knows. I can in my mind know that God's not happy with me. But until I confess it to Him and say, God, I was wrong, there is no room for forgiveness. Because it's a conditional. God says, if you confess your sins, that means to agree with them, but to name them, say it. I confess my sin. God, I sinned. Folks, one of the things, on this as a side note, one of the things that we need to be very careful with is generalizing our specific sins. Because that is not confession. One of the hardest things, I said stole. Lying. Let's take lying. I have lied before, and I do not like to admit lying. There's something about it. To be recognized as a liar, to me, is one of the worst things. Lying is no good, because you are desiring to deceive somebody. You know what the Bible says? That's hating somebody. You realize that when you lie to somebody, when you deceive them, you are hating them. Because you're wanting to take them from the truth. It's anti-Jesus. It's anti-God. Because Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth. When we lie to somebody, we're taking them away from truth. We don't want them to know the truth. That's one of the worst things that we can do, is to lie to a person. I hate to be identified as a liar. And in the past, when I have lied, and I know that I need to go and get it right with somebody, it is one of the hardest things for me to go and to say, I lied to you. And this is what I've done. I've done this before. I've said, you know, when I told you that, I should have said it in a better way. Well, Saying it in a better way is not necessarily a sin, right or wrong. But see, what I'm doing is I'm making it, I'm not really confessing my sin. I'm kind of making it like it's not that big of a deal. Or, you know, when I told you that yesterday, it wasn't completely the truth. And for some reason, it's easier for me to say that. It wasn't completely the truth. Well, we got to be careful. What does God say about that? That is a lie. Well, it's hard for me to say, okay, when I talked to you yesterday, I told you that I lied to you. I don't like to say that because I'm admitting now that I'm a liar. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We don't like to do that. But you see, that's confession. You see, it's completely... Listen, don't lose this. It's completely coming clean. It's just opening up. Now, go back to our passage in Hebrews. So if we confess, He forgives and cleanses. You know, I really wonder how much we tell God. How much do you tell God about everything in your life? Like the priests, you're not entering into the holies. Forget that. That was just an illustration. Where would your percentage be? I tell God 10% of things, even though He knows all 100. I tell God 50%. I tell God 75%. I tell God 90%. I tell God 99.9% or whatever it is in all of the numbers in between. And we could never know exactly what that is. How open are you with God? And we're not even just talking about sin. I'm talking about everything. Everything in life. How open, how well do you communicate with God? And I'm really asking you, forget your neighbor and forget your husband and forget your wife, forget your children. I'm asking you. How well do you communicate what is on your heart to God? How much do you tell Him? How much do you withhold? It's kind of twisted that we wouldn't tell Him everything when He already knows everything. But I feel like this is probably the kind of relationships, or could I better say fellowship, that we have with our God. I feel like most of us have some reserve. Because if I say it, it's going to make it worse. I've got good news for you. Saying it will make it better. Let us, look down at your verse, Hebrews 4:16. You thought when I told you the verse, you thought, what more can we say? Because we've already preached several messages here. What more could we get out of this verse? What is the fifth word of the verse in English? What's the word?
Boldly.
Boldly. Now, you have in your mind what the definition of boldly is. In fact, we sang a song that really used the word bold and unashamed. And I will tell you that that has even in the context of the song, has a different definition than the word here. When we think of coming boldly before the throne of grace, we're thinking of no reserve coming in. And it is true. And by the way, not one of those high priests could go in that way. Think about it. Could the guy with only 10% open, could he boldly go into that to that throne room? No. No way. What about 50 guy? 75? Getting a little quicker, but not boldly. 90? Faster. 99.9. We're getting there. Boldly. Boldly. Now listen to this. Listen to this. The word boldly here. Everybody listen to this because this is a key. This is key to accessing and approaching the throne of grace. The word boldly here is freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. We hear a lot of that in our world today also, don't we? Freedom of speech. Interesting. That's what the word means. It means share everything. Share everything. Let us therefore come, how? Boldly. Freedom of speech. No reservation, no holding back. Tell it to Jesus. Let everything go. Let everything freed up. It's not 10. It's not 50. It's not 75. It's not 90. It's not 99.9. It's everything. He says, I want you to tell me everything. I want to hear everything that is on your heart. And why can we do this? Well, we go back up to verses 14 and 15 because he's made the way. Folks, he's already gone through what you're going through. I can't tell him that. He already knows it. He's been through it. He's been tempted with all that you have been tempted with. He's already gone through, and praise the Lord, he's gone through perfectly and wholly, but he understands what you're, where you're at. He understands the temptation. That's his humanity. And that's his glory. He already knows where you're going. He's been there. You're not going to tell him something and Jesus go like this. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know that you're a liar. Come on now. He already knows. There's nothing. Folks, listen. There's nothing that the Lord doesn't already know. In fact, he knows more than you know. Many times I cannot discern my heart, but he's been discerning my heart and he has discerned my heart from the beginning of time, and there is no beginning of time. He already understands everything, and yet we somehow feel like I can't tell it. I can't. We pray. I want you to think about your prayer life. How do you pray? Is it boldly? See, we thought that boldly meant just, I can ask him for anything. And that is a part of it. But my friend, boldness is just a freedom of speech, nothing holding back. I'm telling him everything. I'm telling him everything that is on my heart. I'm telling everything that's going through, everything. Now, notice he did not say, tell me everything that's just holy and righteous. Now, this is going to be key. Do not miss this. We're just about done. There's not much more to this message. Listen. He is saying, hold nothing back. You say, well, I can't tell God my thoughts. You know, let's just say you're having a struggle with a spouse. And we get scared, you know, and we come, and this is our prayer. This is how we tend to pray as Christians. God, you know I'm struggling, and I need your help. She needs your help. God help us, but we don't want to say anything. We don't want to, listen, and I'm going to give you an illustration here. It's just an illustration. God, my wife is all wrong. She is taking things out of, this is not true, okay? Just giving you an illustration. God, I don't understand. I don't understand at all why she thinks about that. I don't understand. And God, I get so frustrated with that. In fact, I get angry with it. I don't understand why. And yet, you see, God wants us to share everything. God wants us to get it off of our shoulders. He said to cast your care upon him. That means to take it off and roll it away to him. We can't do it. See, many of us, we say, I can't do that. I don't want to verbalize it. That would be wrong. Listen, you're already wrong, but God says to boldly come, to freely speak, talk about it with him. God, I just don't understand what's going on. But then here's the next chapter. But God, I'll be honest with you. How do I know that I'm right? God, and I know that last night when I was talking to her, I know that I did wrong, and I know that I was proud, and I know that I put up, you know, a stiff arm, and I ignored. God, you see, what I'm doing is I'm starting to unpack the problem. What I'm starting to do is I'm starting to boldly come, and I'm starting to be free in reality, truth. It's what it means to confess. It means to get 100% clean and clear. It's to unpack the problem before the Lord. Folks, I want to tell you something. He has already cleared the way for you to do it, and he's expecting it to do it. He already knows who you are, but he's saying, I want you to come. Come down this aisle. I want you to come to me, but do it boldly. If you're not going to do it boldly, then don't bother, because you're still reserving 90%. You're still reserving 50%. You're still reserving 25% in your life. You're still reserving 10%. You're still reserving that 0.1%. You're still preserving that. You are not ready to come before me. God says the approach to the throne is with boldness. That means 100% openness. And what that looks like is telling it to Jesus. Tell it how it is in your life. Yes, that means tell the struggles. Tell the sins. God, I'm angry with that person. I'm frustrated. I don't understand. Or I'm scared to death. I'm anxious about this. God, I know that I'm not doing right because I am not trusting you. That's some of the best words you can say. I'm not trusting you. I'm doubting you right now. God, I'll be honest with you. I don't even believe that you can do this. I know that's not true, but I'm not believing in you right now. God, I am. And I think that first of all, we ought to spend most of our time on us. But if we're going to come boldly, we need to share what my struggles with. But my brother over here, he continues to hurt me. And he doesn't. He continues to hurt me. And he continues to say these things. And I don't know why. He has no right to say that. You say, what good is that? I'll tell you, it's being bold before the throne of grace, because you're letting it off to Jesus. See, the problem that we have is we carry it because we're going to be good Christians. And I can't say anything odd against my brother. But see, God, this is key. God is not telling us to tell other people about my brother. That would be wrong. God is telling me to come to him about my brother. But yet I should be able to come in the quietness of wherever I'm at, and I should be able to tell it to Jesus just the way it is in my life. God, I'm struggling. I am struggling. I have done wrong. They have done wrong. God, and I don't understand what's going on with them, and I wish that they would. And I don't think there's anything wrong with praying those things. But we ought to make full circle and come back around and say, God, but I might be wrong. It might be me. God, I might be the one. You need to show me. God, I don't want to fall in this area. I don't want to be a sinner in this area. I want to be right, but I don't know how. And to tell you the truth, I don't see how there's any help or hope for me. I don't even know how you could do it. I don't know what verse you could give me. I want a verse. I wish that you would tell me. God, I don't know how long are you going to wait before you tell me. How am I going to make it through this day? God, in fact, I don't even feel like I can leave here. I don't want to talk to them today. Now, you say, Pastor, you're up there spouting off a whole lot of things. Exactly. And if you would have showed up this week, you would have probably overheard me talking like this. I want to tell you something. There's a key to understanding what real prayer is. But I am fearful that many of us have no concept of what approaching the throne of grace is all about. Because we are like the five priests that cannot let it out to a God that already knows. And get this, this is a good part. He already knows and his arms are still open. This is not a suggestion. He doesn't say, may I suggest to you to come boldly? No, he commands it. Come boldly. What he's saying is, you come to me and tell it how it is. Get it off your shoulders and get it off your chest. You tell me what you're going through. You tell me your struggles. You tell me your fears. You tell me your anxieties. You tell me your frustrations. You tell me your angers. You tell me your sin. You tell me the way it is. Confess it before me. Get it all off of your shoulders. Confess that you don't know. Tell about how you want me. Just tell it all. God, I need you, and I will not leave here until you come and meet with me. That's boldness. That is boldness. You come clean 100% with God, and you're there, and it's quiet, and the dust can begin to settle. That's when you've accessed the throne of grace. And let me tell you something. You've broken through that veil, and there's a table bigger than you've ever seen in your entire life. It's a table that's filled. But you see, on this table, there's mercies like you've never seen before. But you, my friend, the mercy drops that are there cannot help the mercy burdens that are never presented. The grace that is there cannot help when there's the need that's never presented. What good is a table that is decked out with all kinds of fancy foods if there's no one there to eat it? This table is only good for those that are brought to the throne of grace. But when that need, when that sin is presented there, then the mercy drops can come and take it away. Then God can show up with his grace and give you that grace to help in time of need. That's when God can show up. But he said, come to me. Open up. Get it off of your shoulders. Get it off of your chest. Verbalize it. Tell me how it is. And let me take care of it. See, folks, we've got to change the way we pray. How many of us pray like that? I believe with all my heart, I'm not sure. I think, the truth be told, our prayers, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. And I don't know how the rest of it goes because I don't pray that way. Lord, bless this, bless this, bless this. I need your help. Amen. How in the world can the mercy and the grace help that? You didn't tell me anything. So the question is when was the last time that you told God everything? You say, even the bad thoughts that I had about that other person? Yep. Even the frustrations that I have? Yep. Now again, he didn't say to go to them. He didn't say, well, you might need to go to them if there's a problem between you two, but that's for another time. When was the last time you came and just laid it all out on the table? Every part of it. And you, when you walked away, you there was not even a 0.1% that you didn't. No. Get it off of your shoulders. Say the same thing as he would say. Come clean with God and just say, God, this is where I'm at. Nothing left. I mean, lifeless, nothing. I have nothing left inside. This is where it is. You see, when we die to ourselves, that's when he can bring us up. And he can come right inside and be that hand inside the glove that we can be our lives. But we've got to let him do it. We've got to let him, and how we do that is by boldly coming before the throne of grace. When we come boldly, when we really say it how it is, that's when the mercy and the grace and the help can come to the rescue and be there for us and to give us that help in time of need. Now, you say, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. I'm just telling you, you're going to have to find a way. So everybody has different ways in which they pray, different areas. Now, I'm getting very practical here in the closing minute here. We all have our own ways. You might say, Pastor, that's not my way, because I literally come here and do miles around this auditorium, and I out loud, I verbalize it, and I talk like that, and I pray. And I'm just going to be honest with you, it's been the most freeing thing in my entire life. And I would say that I've been doing it that way for a very long time, but even this past week when I studied this word boldness, I would say I got that extra 0.1%. No more. Open. I'm going to tell it how it is. I'm going to cry through it. I'm going to laugh through it. I'm going to talk to you. You need to find a way to do this, because if you are having your prayer time with other people around, if you're having it there in public, if you're having it there with, you're going to have to find a way, a time and a place to be able to do it, to get it off your shoulders. And I would suggest you're not going to be able to do it very well in your head. You know, one of these kind of prayers, which you can pray that way. Praise the Lord. Because there's times we can't talk out loud. We can't do this. But you're going to need to find a time to really be able to verbalize with the Lord what's going on. You have to. I'm going to tell you that this is paramount. This is so important for your prayer life. Some of you have never had this ever, ever, ever in your life. And some of you might just choose never to do it. And you would not be able to approach the throne of grace. He's asking us to come to him boldly. That's when the mercy, that's when the grace, that's when the help are available. I implore you, as a church, would you be willing to just try it? It's not that hard. It takes a little getting used to. Like, I can't, boy, I feel like I'm talking bad about that person. Listen, just talk it out. You'll be surprised at how much grace and mercy you receive when you walk out. You're free. Doesn't mean the problem's gone, but you've done your job. Now it's his. Father, we need your help. We need your help with this. I personally believe that this mentality can change our prayer lives. God, some of us don't even know what prayer is because we've never done this. We've always just internalized a few words, been so generalized in our approach to the throne. God, I pray that my prayer is that these people this morning would recognize their lack of prayer, their lack of boldness. And like the five priests, we've hardly told you anything. We just try to bear the burden all ourselves. Just like those girls sang. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And Jesus is very near. God, would you help us to begin to pray? And may we come boldly. And the only way we can come boldly is because of what Jesus Christ has done. He's prepared the way so that we can do it. God, thank you for that. May we come boldly before the throne of grace. God, I thank you for your word today. You have delivered it to us. I pray that we would do something with it. In Jesus' name, amen.